Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter.
Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, both big and small.
I'm Biz.
I'm Emily. And today we are going to talk about the empathy gap.
I bet there's so many people who are like, what the heck is the empathy gap? So the empathy gap is the inability for people to empathize with those they don't know, including their future selves.
Okay, so Biz, why do you think this is important for us to talk about? Like, I'm curious about what brought you to wanting to dive into this topic a little bit more.
Well, I specifically wanted to talk about the future self. I mean, the empathy gap also applies to things like race, etc.
Right.
But I want to kind of delve into the future self.
Yeah. So thinking of you like down the line in like 10 to 15 or like, well, even like next week, does it apply to like immediate, but you can't put yourself in that position?
I would think the empathy gap would be smaller the closer in the future it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can empathize with yourself next week, but maybe you can't empathize with yourself or your children 50 years down the road.
Right. Well, and it probably changes over time too. Like when I was a teenager, I probably was like, I don't know what I'll be doing next week. But like now I have a bit more of an idea of like what things are going to look like. So maybe your empathy gap like gets longer the older. Would you agree with that? I have nothing to back me up on this.
You mean like it's harder to empathize for your future self as you get older?
No, I think it's easier.
It's easier. So the gap gets smaller as you get older. I think we need to define what the gap is.
Yeah, what's the gap? Because I'm like, well, is it that distance or is it how you feel?
Like, well, like the gap being you can't, the fact that you can't empathize because you see this distance, this difference between you and that other person.
Right.
Right.
You can't possibly imagine yourself in that position.
You can't possibly imagine yourself.
Right.
In that situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many people have a hard time feeling that waste and our environmental impact and climate change is so important and that we have to do something about it now because it's a later problem for mm-hmm. for our later selves to deal with. But it's not, because it's what we do now that is going to affect what happens 50 years down the road.
Right.
Now, we can relate that to, say, like losing weight, right?
Okay.
So in the moment, you want that damn cake.
Yeah, girl.
But you like... And you know that...
Yeah, it's not going to get you to your goals.
It's not going to get you to your goals, but you
know... Or maybe it will.
You know yourself now, and right now, the cake is more important than going for a run.
Yeah, it's like the immediate gratification.
But then next week, when you step on the scale and you're 2 pounds heavier instead of 2 pounds lighter, like you wanted, you're going to go, why did I eat the cake? Why? Mm-hmm. Right? But it's too late now because you already ate the cake. Mm-hmm. So you can't... You can't put yourself in that position a week later when you know you're going to be stepping on the scale, or it's harder to, right?
Okay.
It's way easier to see yourself in the now going, the cake is more comforting than the run, mm-hmm. when you know the run will make you feel better later,
right?
But the cake will make you feel better now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's kind of how I think people think of waste and pollution and...
Yeah, like the whole environmental impact that people have. So, well, let's maybe like develop that a little bit further. Like, what would you say? Okay, so yeah, explain that. Like, do you think that people have a hard time like thinking about what their world's going to look like or what they're going to look like down the road if like climate change impacts them? Or I guess for me, I sometimes think that people maybe, yeah, they like can't believe that it's happening because it's so small. Like going back to your example of like weight loss or whatever. Yeah, like those immediate actions don't necessarily have like immediate effect. So it's like hard for people to compound that and like understand that. I think particularly with waste, because we don't really see the impacts of that ever. Even if we're producing less waste, you know, it's not like you go to the landfill and you're like, oh, wow, I can really see how me using toothpaste has really built up over the last year, right? Like,
yeah. And I've said before that I think if people actually had to keep all of their garbage and had to like live with it or deal with it themselves,
yeah,
that they would definitely make less of it because it would be their own problem. Because
there would be no empathy gap there.
There would be no empathy gap because it's not someone else who has to take care of it. It's yeah. not a future problem. It is something that is currently building up in their house as they continue yeah. to throw stuff on that pile. Mm-hmm. I think I've told this story before, but I was talking to a friend of mine and he was telling me about all the plastic pollution in the rivers. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I can't believe how big of a problem this is. Oh, my word. It's like mm-hmm. there's plastic upon plastic upon plastic.
Yeah.
And
it does seem a little daunting when it like, yeah.
And then he says, look at my apartment, my situation right now. Like this plastic pollution mm-hmm. is such a problem. I've only lived in this apartment for 3 weeks and there's like a big pile of plastic bags under
yeah,
my sink.
Yeah, the plastic bags. Yeah.
And I said, so bring a reusable bag with you.
Yeah, like why?
And he was like, well, that's really inconvenient.
Yeah, what a
because
pain in my
even
butt.
Though he recognizes that this is an issue, mm-hmm. he can't empathize with the problem because it's an other. It's
yeah,
not
it's
him.
Outside of what he has to deal with.
And what his situation is right now is that he has to get the groceries home.
Yeah.
And so right now, the best solution is to use that piece of plastic to get them home and then put the plastic under a sink.
Yeah.
And they'll just build up there.
Yeah. And they'll just
or eventually get thrown out.
Right. Like he can't. Well, and I think that that's interesting. Yeah. Talking about like if we actually had to deal with our own waste because, yeah, like if we actually had to deal with our own waste. And I think maybe, to be honest, I think that that's maybe one of the reasons why I became so interested in waste was because like growing up on the farm, like we did have to manage our waste in a different way than in particular if you're living in a municipality and it's just like picked up and taken away, right? That you're like, you're managing your waste differently and you're more in tune with it. And even now, I think, to be honest, one of the things that I often think is that I'm like, particularly when I create waste of some kind, I'm always, or like when I'm grocery shopping or something, I'm always thinking now, I feel like ahead of being like, ugh, I don't want to have to deal with this. Like, I don't want to have to deal with this stupid plastic container that like, I'm just going to have to recycle it or throw it out. Or I don't know, like even the idea of dealing with that. And maybe that's because I am so obviously like sensitive to my waste. But
do you remember a time when that didn't bother you so much?
Oh, yes, definitely. I used to like, and now I will say like going to the grocery store, I am like much more particular about what I purchase. Also, I think, yeah, like I definitely lived in a time where I bought whatever I wanted, regardless of how it was packaged, and never thought twice about it. Like never thought twice about getting something that was wrapped in plastic and throwing in the garbage. Like I personally definitely went through a bit of a transition, particularly when I worked for Waste Services in Edmonton and saw like the shocking piles and piles of garbage that literally come through our municipality like waste sorting facility every single day. So that was really like a jarring moment for me. And I get that a lot of people don't have that. But now that's really caused me to think like literally years later after I left that position of just being like, oh my goodness, like, yeah, this is going to sit in a landfill. And that's really real to me now. Whereas before I worked in that role, it wasn't. It was very out of sight, out of mind.
Would you agree that maybe closing that gap and thinking of your future self and how your actions now are going to affect that would take practice?
Definitely.
Do you think just Definitely. The more you think about it, the more it will just automatically be something you think about?
And I think that there's like good and bad to that too. Like I think I've definitely had times where I've put like a lot of pressure on myself to be like, oh my goodness, this like stressing about every single piece of waste that you produce, which is like also not great. Like the eco anxiety that comes into that. I like hope that no one has to go through that, but that's totally something that I went through. So I think that like,
I think that might just be a pendulum that swings one way and eventually kind of balances out.
Far. Yeah. And
especially with Marianne, holy moly, her pendulum just like almost came right around the top and back again.
Right. Her pendulum came and swung and hit me in the face. Like, but
I was killing myself laughing, listening to her talk about her underwear. Yeah.
Well, well, and I think that that's something that we definitely do. And to be honest now,
by the way, challenge accepted. I will make some homemade underwear.
For those of you who haven't listened to Marianne's latest episode where I interview her about zero waste fails, you really should. That's
part
all
four.
I'm going to say.
Part four has to do with underwear.
Yeah, but I definitely like for me, there have been phases where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have stress about like buying anything in packaging, and I've definitely tried to let that go a little bit. Like me and Marianne have also talked about this. Like it's not good to put so much pressure on yourself that you like can't live your life because you're worried about producing waste. I think that there's like a happy medium, but I think it is interesting, particularly for me, that shift also happens because my recycling, I also don't get my recycling picked up. Like, because I live in an apartment. Mm-hmm. And so even when I buy items that I know are recyclable, I literally am like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this. Like, I'm going to have to put this in my bin. And then I'm going to have to take that to the recycling depot because that's something that I do. But even just that, like that extra step of recognizing that and being like, oh, I know that recycling isn't the answer.
Yeah, recycling is just like a half notch better than throwing it in the garbage.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, just like dealing with your waste a lot more and like being more aware of it instead of, just like throwing it in the garbage and never thinking about it. And, you know, also recognizing that like, oh yeah, in 2 or 3 weeks or however long it takes my recycling bin, actually it's probably longer than that, for my recycling bin to fill up. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with that. So
the faster you fill it up, the more often you have to go and do this extra chore.
Yeah, and I'm lazy. I'm lazy.
Your future self is also
it.
Lazy. And so your current self doesn't want to buy that thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's the same as me, like, literally shoving my compost pail full of my compost scraps and, like, compressing it so that I don't have to, like, you know, oh, well, I'll just like, it'll be, you know, another like 3 days before I have to like put my compost bin in my worm bin. It's literally because I'm lazy. So I mean, I guess that does kind of like help my waste gap in a lot of sense. Just being like, oh, I don't have to deal with this recycling, or like I really do see particularly garbage. I've really started to think of garbage as more of like a chore, I guess. And thinking about it of like, oh, if I don't even bring this into my house in the first place, then I don't have to deal with it later. Like, whether that be recycling or waste or whatever. Like, I guess I don't necessarily feel that way about food because it's compost and, like, that's great for my worms and whatever. But, yeah, it's like,
no lack of empathy for the worms.
Yeah, no, I love my worms. But yeah, like if I had the option of just being like, oh, I could go, like this is my dream scenario. I could just like go to one place and it was super convenient and I didn't have to use any packaging and I could just bring all of my like clean reusable things and it was like super easy and I don't know. I'm making this like generic
thing
up.
And no one gave you side eye for being the freak who brings their jars.
Yeah. And it was like reasonably priced and, you know, all the products that I wanted that also worked really well. And I don't know. Like, obviously, there's this like niche focus that I kind of have. But I'm like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And then I would just never have to like go through the pain of taking out the garbage or the recycling. Like, that's like my dream scenario, is that I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe one day I'll just be able to like pick up groceries at a convenient spot, like a grocery store, and then like I won't have to also do an extra chore of like taking out my recycling or my garbage or having to like repurpose things or find out where they go or all that kind of stuff. You know, that's That's a dream of mine.
Do you know what baffles me the most when it comes to the empathy gap? Mm-hmm. Is the empathy gap that is there for mothers and the future of their children. That surprises me.
Okay.
That parents aren't putting more effort into trying to reduce their environmental impact to help their children's future.
Okay, see, that's interesting, because then from my perspective, I think that, like, obviously parents, I see this all the time. Parents always want the best for their kids. Like,
right?
They always want the best for their kids. Yeah, like, I literally know people. I'm friends with people who just had kids who would, like, throw their bodies across, like, a burning building for their babies. Like, absolutely.
Right? But they won't stop getting takeout cups.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
What?
But I think that part of that is that, like, they also just can't imagine, like, they do have that empathy gap. They just can't imagine a world maybe in which waste is, like, not managed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not. I mean, managed.
I know, but
what,
like,
is managed?
But in the general public's eye, look at this. You have your disposable containers that you use all the time. You throw them in the garbage, you put them out, and you never have to deal with them again. Like, I think that that's where the disconnect is, particularly for us in Canada and in Alberta and, like, the community that we're around, is that, yeah, it is out of sight, out of mind. And so, of course, it's hard to picture yourself. Look at me, for example. Like, what really changed it for me? Like, I had been working for Waste Services. I'll be completely honest. I had been working for them for probably, I don't know, 3 months. And I don't know what it was. Like, I had seen the garbage pile and it was shocking, but it still took, like, maybe a little while, even after I saw that initial garbage pile, for that to sink in for me. And ever since then, that has really stuck with me. Like, just that actually visually seeing the garbage and seeing the problem. But yeah, like, I had worked for Waste Services. I had talked about how much waste people produced. I think that it's just hard for people to understand the actual quantity. Like, for example, this is something that I always used to tell kids. Like, what do you think the amount, or, like, what do you think the weight of waste is that we produce every year?
Like, oh, are you asking me?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm quizzing you like a child.
The waste, okay, who's producing? The city,
like
an
average person.
An average person.
Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah. Their annual weight, because waste is measured in weight, not volume.
Ooh. 2,000 pounds.
Uh-oh. I only know it in kilograms. Okay. Anyways. So
it's about two.
It's a lot.
If
yeah.
you divide that about 2.2.
Okay. So I think it's, oh my goodness. Now the most embarrassing part is that I don't even remember the number, which
what?
Also secures my point, because we would always tell kids, like, oh, you produce as much garbage in 1 year. Like, this, it's the same size as, like, a male gorilla, which I think is, like, 800 kilograms. I want to say 800 kilograms.
Okay, so that checks out. I think I estimated it's a little high.
A little high.
A little
but
high,
it's a
but
lot.
not that far off.
But even the number, like, I can't exactly remember the specific number, because, like,
that's per person.
It doesn't. It per also, person. But, like, that doesn't mean anything to anyone.
No.
Right? Like, even like comparing it to an adult male gorilla, like, how can you relate to? Like, maybe you can relate to that if you, like, are super connected.
Never
to
seen a gorilla myself.
Gorillas.
Gotta say.
But, like, even that, it's just kind of this, like, unfathomable amount. So then it's, of course, you're disconnected from it, because you, like, can't even imagine what it would
so
be like. You
can
know?
You think of any way that you think you can get that across to somebody? Like, what the future is going to look
what it's
like?
Gonna look like? Well, to be honest, in Canada, I've said this before, we've got a big landmass. I think that it's gonna take a long time for waste to be in our face as much as it is in other countries. Like, you know, I've mentioned Japan and, like, all these other places that are limited on space before. where waste is like taken much more seriously because they're so limited. And in Canada, I think that we're really restricted by that. And the best thing that I think that you can do is really, I don't know, just encourage people to be more connected to their waste. Like that sounds kind of counterintuitive because you're like, you know, we're trying to reduce our waste. But even if people just understood how much they're creating, I think that that would really blow a lot of people's minds.
Well, let's talk about climate change and greenhouse gases, because that I think we can all relate a little bit better to over this last freaking heat wave.
Heat wave. Yeah.
So if you've experienced the heat wave of 2021. I feel
like we should have like the Beach Boys playing in the back to like lighten the mood. But yeah, the fact is that we're all like, this is the hottest it's going to be. Like,
yeah. And Lytton got to 49 degrees.
Yeah.
Like 49 degrees. That is unfathomable to me.
Now, yeah, it's the hottest it's ever been. But it's people literally have experienced that.
Now, imagine 50 years, maybe even like 25, 30 years.
It's going to be hot.
Where that is normal.
Ugh, I know.
And what did we do during this last week? What did everybody do?
Nothing.
Exactly. Because it's dangerous to go outside. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Or,
like, now the mothers out there who have that empathy gap with their children's futures, think about their children when you have grandchildren and your grandchildren can't go play outside in the summer because it's dangerous. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and I think to be honest, probably this heat wave is something that people are like, oh, like I've heard probably more people talk about climate change in the last week because of the heat wave than I have in a really long time. And yeah, like the reality is that like it's going to keep on getting worse. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what people, I've heard mixed things from different people. I've heard people be like, oh my God, I love the heat. It's so great.
And oh, don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying it when I'm not working or sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still...
But it's unnatural, right?
And it's... Yeah, it's and it definitely is, it's dangerous. Doesn't feel... Like, it's not normal, especially for the duration that we've been experiencing it.
Well, and I mean, I think about it, like, particularly because I work in forestry, like, a hot topic is forest fires. And literally, within the last 24 hours, I just heard in the news, like, we already have a ton of forest fires that are cropping
people,
up because it's so
like
dry.
Hundreds of people have died in BC from the heat in
the last few days. The young or the old, right? Like it's not good. Yeah. So I mean, I think, you know, maybe that empathy gap is getting smaller. Maybe people can
maybe
recognize
this might
that this is an impact.
Yeah, maybe people might see that a little bit closer.
I mean, it's
now.
Also hard. I think the other thing is too, it's also hard to like get in your car and drive to work and be like, oh, connect that to how hot is outside. Like I know that people can make that connection, but because there's no real direct link, like
it takes time and it takes invisible forces.
Yeah. Like beyond something that they can actually like visually see. Like I think that maybe that's part of it too, is that people know the cause. They understand the cause. They get that like driving their vehicles and like producing a huge carbon footprint and all of these things like causes global warming. But like because they don't visually see the cause and effect.
We don't call it global warming anymore. It's called climate change.
Sorry,
now.
Climate change. Right. Yeah, because it. I know why. Anyways, but I think that maybe it took people so long to realize that as well, because they're not seeing that cause and effect, right? And so it's easy to have that empathy gap and not be able to picture it because you don't see the results from something that you're doing immediately. It's the same thing like with working out or losing weight or whatever. Like,
it's amazing how often we make that analogy on the show.
It really is. Yeah, it's... But it
I wonder,
really need
I
new
wonder
examples.
If fit people are have an easier time seeing climate change as an immediate problem.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
I think we're giving fit people too much credit. Like, absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. I know fit people who do lots of really shitty things for the environment, so...
I wasn't being entirely facetious there, but anyway. Okay, so, I just wish we had some answer as to how to close that gap.
I think, and this is going to be like so ridiculous, but honestly, the best thing that you can do to close that empathy gap is to like educate yourself more, listen to this podcast,
start conversations,
talking about it and like opening up
imagine
the conversation.
Your children's future, but imagine it with constant heat waves where they're not allowed to play outside.
Yeah, it's like bummer.
And imagine garbage that is just unmanageable and...
Well, and honestly, like heat and pollution, like I think it's also, you know, we're so lucky really to live where we do, where we have the resources that we do. We have clean air. We have clean water.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and I think that because of that, we can be naive to the fact that like...
Which is probably why we are the biggest contributors to the problem.
Right?
Because we have that empathy gap for the people who are dealing with those problems.
Yeah. And so I think it's there is a disconnect there. And I think that, yeah, the best thing to do is just to continue talking about it. Also to talk about how there are so many examples in other countries where... Yeah, this is in your face. Like, I think that we can get a lot of knowledge and understanding from other places that don't have the luxuries that we do. Like, look at air pollution in China, for example. Like, you know, that's something we're lucky that we don't have those issues, but that's something that could happen if we don't change the way that we do things, or, you know, we might run out of space, or, you know, our rivers might get polluted depending on like what kind of infrastructure we're putting in place or industry. And so I think that, you know, we don't have to look far globally to find examples of these things. And I think that like maybe looking kind of past, like it's hard for me to say that, like, oh, look past your own experience to like close your own empathy gap. That sounds silly. Yeah, that like that's counterintuitive, but really I think, yeah, it's talking about it and like also trying to understand what's actually going on, like,
and practice.
Yeah,
as we mentioned earlier, just like the more you actually imagine this being the future problem that it's going to be, the easier it'll be for your actions today to change.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the whole idea of like conceptualization, like what I would recommend is if you can go on a tour for the Edmonton Waste Management Center. It's honestly mind-blowing. Like I don't know anyone who goes on that tour and is like, oh my God, garbage is not a problem. Like, like that's not a thing that happens. Everyone is always shell-shocked. Everyone is always like, their minds are always blown. Yeah, so.
And I want to.
Yeah, so like when you can, I think you kind of have to just like put yourself in those uncomfortable situations. And yeah, like it sucked. It was a bummer to see all the garbage, but that really stuck with me and really resonated with me and like has allowed me to make much better choices moving forward. So yeah, I think just like continue to educate yourself is the best thing that you can do. Obviously, I'm a big fan of education. I think that that's really the takeaway, is that you don't have to look far to look for examples of how things have gone sideways, and as a global community.
And how your actions will make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And that now is the time, because...
Yeah, no time like today.
Because there will be a point of no return where we've messed up too bad.
Well, and there's a saying,
let's not
like,
get there.
Yeah, there's a saying like, oh, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is today. Like, yeah, hindsight's 20/20, but like, why not change your behavior if you have the opportunity? Like, I get that it's easy and convenient, but like, what could happen? You don't know.
Won't somebody think of the children?
Please.
All right. What's your wine, cheese, and dessert?
Okay. So this is actually quite funny. This is also going off of Marianne and I's chat, but in that episode, we talked about an epilator. Okay. And
did you try it?
I got one.
Oh dear, why? Yeah, okay. Why would you do that?
No, and get this, it's a wine for me because Marianne described it like being stung by 1,000 bees, and that is in fact correct. Like, absolutely. But to be honest, Marianne and I had talked about this, and I had been really thinking about getting one because I wax, and to be honest, waxing is kind of like a messy, annoying, time-consuming thing, and I was looking for something more convenient, and like I don't particularly like shaving. Also, to be completely honest, I know that I shouldn't be, but I'm a little bit terrified of the safety razor, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. So I did get an epilator, and I have been using it, and it does feel like... like if you've ever had your hair waxed, like you know how painful it is, but it's painful for like a split second, mm-hmm. right? So imagine just like that over and over and over again, like continuously for 10 minutes. That's how painful it is, but also it's great. So I have very hairless armpits now thanks to my epilator. So
so is this going to be a thing that you keep doing then?
Yeah, I love my epilator. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. It was...
Hear that, Marianne?
Yeah. It was honestly, like Marianne was talking about it and how awful it was. And I was like, okay, this sounds terrible. But also like waxing is kind of a pain in my butt and I'm kind of getting over it. And this was a great alternative to waxing for me. So
I'm tempted to also try it, but I just don't have any problems with my routine as it is, so.
Yeah, honestly, I am a big fan. Also because, like, this is kind of more turning into a dessert. Like, yes, okay, Emily, hair removal's painful, and I have chosen the most painful method. But, yeah, it's summer, and, like, my legs are always basically, well, epilated, I guess you can say, but always smooth and my armpits look good. Before I had to wait when I was waxing, I had to wait like a really long time for the hair to grow out. So then I would be like a woolly mammoth for like half the summer and then like look great for the other half. But now I don't have to do that because epilating, you don't have to like wait as long. So now I am not like a hairy creature.
Huzzah.
So yeah, a wine, you know, what is it like beauty is pain or whatever? I mean, that's stupid. I don't necessarily agree with that. But yeah, so that's my wine and dessert. And then my cheese is, this is really great. I think it's really funny. But how hot is it? It's so hot that the birds have to use pot holders to pull worms out of the ground. It's so hot that the chickens are laying hard-boiled eggs. Nice. And it's so hot that Satan decided to take the day off. That one's my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, what's your wine? Okay. Cheese and dessert.
So my wine is that I feel like I've been taking a lot of cheat days.
Okay.
When it comes to my environmental me.
Okay. Me too. I get it. It's tough.
If my routine is thrown off, I just have a hard time. I have an empathy gap for my future self for when my routine is screwed up. And so I don't prepare anything ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, honestly, convenience. Convenience is the killer because when you're like not prepared, then convenient, you're like, ugh.
So like the last few weeks of work is just a busy time of year. So we've been like, my schedule has wound up making me work early or not at work. So then I have to not just do my normal biking. So I end up having to drive. So then I end up having to like, not having to, but end up going for breakfast somewhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're like, you know, pre-made schedule gets thrown
and not
off.
Not every time, but definitely too much.
Mm-hmm. More than you would like.
Well, any of it is more than I would like, but I give in sometimes. And I've just given in a lot in the last little while. And I'm just...
And sometimes it's like, I don't know if you get like this, but then sometimes I like get on a roll and I'm like, oh my God, I just suck all the time. Like,
I need to stop.
Yeah.
I need to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a rough few weeks for
I can appreciate
cheat
that.
Days.
That's a bummer.
As I like to call them. Yeah. My cheese is, what's the difference between apathy and empathy?
What?
Don't know. Don't care.
That is very fitting. Very fitting. Yes. Yes, good work. Okay, and what's your dessert?
My dessert is that I got to listen to The Day to Listen. Did you hear about that?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so in light of all of the Indigenous issues and the 215 children.
Oh, that, well, more. It's well, more have been found now,
but that was the
oh
original
goodness.
Number, I think.
Yeah, in Kamloops.
And the radio did A Day to Listen. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were like hundreds of radios across Canada
did this.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Okay. Actually, I'm so upset that I missed this. And I was meaning to listen to it.
Ugh. You missed it.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen. What radio station did you listen to? Did you listen to CBC's or was it a different one?
It was on Sonic.
Oh, okay.
Sonic 102.9 mm-hmm. did The Day to Listen. Mm-hmm. If you did miss it, like Emily, you can go to downywenjack.ca to find out more and see ways that you can help. They might have some of the stories there that they told on the radio. And and I put this in my dessert because obviously not the stories themselves, but the fact that the radio and the Downey Wenjack Foundation did this and put out there those stories so that people could listen.
Yeah, it's what a horrible event that like caused attention to this, but I think it's so valuable now what people are learning and bringing attention to this. I think is and amazing.
It was a beautiful thing in a horrifying way. Mm-hmm. But I am glad that I had the opportunity to listen to a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is my kind of depressing dessert, I guess.
Yeah, but also like how much did you learn from that? And now you can use that to be a better person moving forward. And there's so much more that we can do, but you can also only do as much as you can do in the moment. So,
but yeah. Check out downywenjack.ca and take a look at the stories and to find out how you can help.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Well, that concludes our episode for today. Thank you guys all so much for listening. As always, we love to hear your feedback so much. We love it when our listeners connect with us. So please send us an email at becominglesspod@gmail.com.
And actually, if we have any Indigenous listeners who would like to be on the show, I actually would really love to have a chat with someone about how the Indigenous teachings would help us become less.
Because I think that I'm super white, so I can't speak, but I think that there would be a lot of parallels of like some of the things that we're talking about, and it would be so interesting to hear an Indigenous perspective. So if anyone who's Indigenous would love to talk to us on the podcast, we would be so excited to have you. Or if you know of someone, it would be so, so awesome for us. And I think really useful for our listeners to hear that perspective.
An Indigenous perspective on environmental issues. Absolutely.
It'd be so cool.
Hit me up.
Yeah. Send us an email.
You can also find us on Instagram and message us on there.
Yeah.
And that is also at Becoming Less Pod. Or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod to find all the ways to connect and listen and to donate to support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah, and just quickly before we end, as always, we want to give a shout out to Change Toothpaste Tabs. They are our podcast sponsors. So basically, they cover the cost of the podcast so that Biz and I can just put in our time. Big shout out to them. If you guys are interested in trying Toothpaste Tabs, we do have a discount code for you, which is...
Becoming Less.
Okay, Becoming Less.
Gets you 15% off.
Okay, yeah, excellent. We really hope to have you guys back next time. Every day we can be a little less than we were yesterday. Is there someone in the house?
There's someone in the house.